Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles. The Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles and chapter number 35. The book of 2 Chronicles and chapter number 35. We are progressing on and moving forward in our series of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet unto a backslidden nation. And we're taking the book of Jeremiah in chronological order, the way that it happened in history. And as we've been going through, we see that Jeremiah has been preaching at a young age during the reign of King Josiah. Now, King Josiah was a very special king to the Lord. He was someone that the Lord spoke highly of about his mannerisms and what he did in his life. And he became very good friends with the prophet Jeremiah. Well, as the time of life and events happened, something happened to Josiah that caused Jeremiah to mourn his friend. And so if you don't mind, I want to see what happens to it. And then we're going to do a character study on the King Josiah, and see if we could glean something from his life and apply it to our own lives. If you don't mind, look with me in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 35. 2 Chronicles, chapter 35, and notice with me starting at verse 20. 2 Chronicles 35, starting at verse 20, the Word of God says this: After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho against A king of Egypt came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. But he sent ambassadors to him, saying, What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commandeth me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God. Who is with me that he destroy thee not? Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him, and hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archers shot at the king Josiah, and the king said to his servants, Have me away, for I am sore wounded. His servants therefore took him out of that chariot, and put him in the second chariot that he had had, and brought him to Jerusalem, and he died, and was buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers. And all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. And Jeremiah lamented for Josiah, and all the singing men and the singing women spake of Josiah in their lamentations to this day, and were made them an ordinance in Israel, and behold, they are written in the lamentations. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and his goodness according to that which was written in the law of the Lord, and his deeds first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 35? 2 Chronicles chapter 35, and in verse 25, notice the phrase, Jeremiah lamented for Josiah. Jeremiah lamented for Josiah. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And thank you for the great privilege it is to be in your house this morning. And help us as we understand a spiritual principle today as we study the life of Josiah. And that we would evaluate our own hearts to make sure that we're looking forward to revival and not reform. That we're looking to make sure that our inward heart is right with you and not just our outward appearance. I'm asking that you would just reveal and open up the truth in a special way. Help us as we explore the King Josiah, that we would be able to appreciate this godly man more, that we'd have a desire to know more about his life because of this brief survey that we do of this life of this wonderful king. Lord, again, as we go through here, I'm asking you would set things in order. Fill me with your precious spirit. And Lord, that you would be an encouragement to these good folks today. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah laments for Josiah. Now, what is happening is that Jeremiah has been preaching for a while, and he's become very good friends with the king, Josiah. Josiah had died approximately in his late 30s, so he didn't live that long. He reigned when he was 18. Different things had went on in his life, but he died fairly young, and part of it was his own doing. But while he was alive, Jeremiah and Josiah got along great. They became great friends and encouraged each other. Everyone needs to have a good friend that encourages them to do things for the Lord. Everyone needs a great friend who's going to help them to move closer to the Lord rather than having the friends that will draw us away from the Lord. Jeremiah and Josiah were those friends that encouraged each other in the Lord. At the end of Josiah's life, as we have recorded here, that what is happening in the world is that the Assyrian Empire, which had ruled for about 700 years, is now waning and diminishing. That the Babylonians have risen up and rebelled against the Assyrians, and the Babylonians have grabbed a coalition of people to fight and destroy the Assyrians. For those of you who love history, the Assyrians were the Nazis of the ancient world. They were very much bad guys. And so Babylon had raised up, the Medians had raised up, the Persians had joined the Medians. And now what has happened is that Pharaoh Necho of Egypt had decided that he was also going to join this coalition and fight the Assyrians to destroy them. However, as we look further in history, what happens is that as soon as he gets past Josiah and he makes it to Carchemish, that Pharaoh Necho goes down and realizes, wait a second, the bigger threat is not Assyria, it's Babylon. And so he changed sides and tried to fight with the Assyrians against the Babylonians, but it's going to be to no avail. But what is happening at this time is that Pharaoh Necho is going up. If you know geography, you understand that in order for Pharaoh Necho to take his army from Egypt all the way up to Assyria and Babylon, they have to pass through Judea. And so as they're passing through Judea, someone told King Josiah, hey, the Pharaoh's coming up and he's going to go fight against the Assyrians. He's going to go fight in this big battle. And Josiah said, hey, I've never been in battle. I've always wanted to be in a fight. I know, I'm going to go pick a fight with them. When Pharaoh Necho heard this, he said, wait a second. What are you doing? I have business with the Assyrians. I have business with the Babylonians. I have something to do. Why are you bothering me? In fact, he goes as far as to say, hey, I've got a message from the Lord that God says, don't do it. I don't want to destroy you. Josiah, however, said, I still want to get in this fight. And so he insisted that he went in a fight with the Pharaoh Necho. What happened is that they went to the Valley of Megiddo, which we will know later as Armageddon. That's going to be very important for those of you who understand Bible history and prophecy. That he's fighting there, and in the midst of the battle, Josiah is shot by archers, and he dies. The godly King Josiah, who had done so much to try to help the people to at least conform their ways to be pleasing to the Lord, died. Jeremiah just lost his best friend. He lost the only other person who had a desire to live for the Lord. And this is why Jeremiah lamented for Josiah. And so if you don't mind, why was it so important that Jeremiah lamented for Josiah? Who was he that it made such a big impact that the whole nation mourned after this king? Well, we understand that there's different ways of studying the Bible. We could study the Bible through its books. We could study the Bible by its words. We could study the Bible by its themes. Another great way of studying the Bible is by its characters. That what we do is we examine the life of a person and draw an application because of their life. And so if you don't mind, let's do a character study on King Josiah and learn from his life and draw an application for ourselves. If you don't mind, let's look at his life as it's recorded in the book of 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings 22, and this is where we're going to stay in the book of 2 Kings for the rest of this service as we examine the life of Josiah. As we turn to 2 Kings chapter 22, if you're in the book of 2 Chronicles now, just turn the other direction. 2 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, 2 Kings. Hopefully that's easy enough for you. The book of 2 Kings, and we're going to land in chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. And as we examine this, let's look at the life of Josiah. Let's learn more about who he is and how important he was to the Lord, how important he was to Josiah, or to Jeremiah, how important he was to the nation of Israel. The first thing I'd like to examine as we look at the life of Josiah is the idea of restoration without revelation. Restoration without revelation. Notice with me in chapter 22 in verse number 1. Chapter 22 in verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jediah, and the daughter of Adiah of Bosketh. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may take may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. And let them deliver it to the hands of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which were in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house, unto the carpenters and the builders and the masons to buy timber and hew stone and to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. As we examine Josiah's life, as we look in his early years as he began to reign, we understand that here we have restoration without revelation. Now, Josiah grew up in a land where the book had once been a supreme book, but it was no longer the supreme book. It was no longer the book that was read, no longer the book that was looked to. In fact, the book had been gathered together and had been lost to time for when Josiah was ruling. In fact, during this time, there were several books that was already written of the Old Testament. The Pentateuch, which is the first five books, the books of Moses, had been written and had served as the constitution of the nation of Israel and later Judah. Job had been penned. Joshua, Judges, Ruth were written. The first two books of Samuel had been canonized. The first book of Kings had been finished. Joel and Jonah, Amos, Hosea, and Micah have all come and gone. Isaiah had come and wrote this important book, the small Bible in miniature with 66 books in it that showed the gospel of Jesus, as some people said. It showed so much about the coming Messiah that it's an amazing book, one of the greatest prophetic books in all the world. David had written half the Psalms. Solomon had wrote three books. So more than half of the New Testament had been written by the time Josiah was king. But unfortunately, this book had been set aside. This book had been neglected. This book had not been paid attention to be used at all. They had lost this book. Now, Josiah himself had lived his first 6 years of his life under the rule of his grandfather, wicked King Manasseh. For those of you who are familiar with Bible history, King Manasseh was the longest reigning king of Judah, ruled 55 years. He was also the most evilest king there was. He was so evil that there were times that he went to the Valley of Hinnom, which was an eternal burning trash pit, and Manasseh, the king, would take his own babies and roll them down a slide into the image of a false god Moloch and allow those children to perish within the fire of it burning. That is a very wicked king indeed. The Bible talks about Manasseh was so wicked that the Bible gives the description that he made the red run through the streets of Jerusalem with all of his evil acts that he did. And that was his Josiah's grandfather. That was the person he had to look up to during his reign. Well, his grandfather died, and then Josiah's father ruled for 2 years before he was murdered in a palace plot. So finally, at age 8, Josiah rules with no godly heritage. His grandfather was evil. His father was evil. None of them served the Lord. He had none of those influences, but yet he had decided early on in his little 8-year-old heart that he was going to serve the Lord. We don't know exactly who was it that influenced him. Maybe it was his mother. Maybe it was a young preacher like Zephaniah. But someone influenced this young king to do what was right for the Lord. That someone in the midst of all this pagan influence encouraged him as a young child to serve the Lord with all of his heart. Now, what happened is that as it came to pass in the 18th year, in verse number 3, it came to pass in the 18th year that King Josiah the king sent Shaphan and sent these other people to restore the temple. So King Josiah had ruled at 10 years old. Can you imagine an 18-year-old who's already ruled the kingdom for 10 years? So here's a young man. And he said, you know what? We understand that this temple has been neglected for all these years. Let's rebuild the temple. Let's refurnish it. Let's revitalize it. Let's do some repairs on it. And so we sent some people to do some repairs in the temple. Now, as they're doing the repairs in the temple, Josiah's doing this just because he believes this is what's right. He doesn't have a Bible to refer to. He's just doing it just because it's right. And in the midst of all the repairs, the people are revitalizing the temple. They're removing some of the old things. That what happened is that one of the people, Hilkiah, he went and he discovered something. He discovered several rolls. He opened up the rolls and said, I think I know what this is. This is the word of God. Let me look. Look, this is Isaiah. Hey, look, these are some writings by Samuel. Look at this. This is the laws of Moses. He went back to his friends and said, guess what? I found the book. I found it. Look, read this. And he gave it to his other partner. And he read the word of God. They both got together in the rest of the chapter. We're not going to read it, but this is what happens. Is that they get together and they said, guess what? We found the book. Man, we read it for ourselves and our hearts burn. Our king needs to know this. So they finally go up to King Josiah. Josiah, Josiah, here's the book. Let's read the book together. And Josiah took the book and he read it out loud. When he read it out loud, he said, guess what? We need to obey this book. This is God's word. Let's read it. This is what it says. We found the book. And so here we start Josiah's Josiah out that what happened is that he had restoration without revelation, that he didn't have the word of God to depend on. He's just trying to do what's right. And just by him doing what's right, it led him to the word of God. You understand that when someone has a desire to do what's right and they have an honest heart, God will bring it to the pass where they could see the Bible for themselves. That if anybody wants to know the truth, God will give them the truth. Here's Josiah who's trying to do the best he can. He doesn't have a godly heritage. His grandfather was a monster. His father was a loser. But he decided he was going to live for the Lord for himself, even at a young age. For 10 years, he's been doing the best he can. Now he found the book. And when he read the book, it changed his life. And he said, we're going to obey this. We're going to obey what the Bible says. Which brings us to the next phase in his life in 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings chapter 23, that we started off with the idea of restoration without revelation, that he's trying to do what's right without the word of God, without knowing the word of God. Now that he has the word of God, we see the second phase in his life. We see reformation without revival. reformation without revival. That Josiah wanted to obey the things of the Bible, that he began to make reforms. He began to change the laws. He began to clean up the area and says, we're going to conform to what the book says. We're going to conform to what the Bible says. Notice with me in chapter 23 and verse number 1. Chapter 23 and verse number 1, we're going to see as he starts making reformation. Now, as we go through here, let me take a pause. And as we introduce this concept, this idea, that what's happening is that Josiah is going to make laws. But as we know in today's society, just because you change the laws doesn't change people's hearts. Josiah is going to make different laws. He's going to clean up a lot of things, but it's not going to affect the people's hearts. They're doing it just because they have to. They're doing it because they're compliant. They're doing it just because this is what the law says, what the king says. But given the chance, they will go back to the same trash that they just came out of, because their heart is not changed. They still want the things. We see that in our society right now. You can make whatever laws you want. It does not change someone's heart. If someone wants to do wrong, they're going to do wrong no matter what the laws say. That if someone is determined not to follow, not to obey, they're not going to follow and obey no matter how many laws you pass. That the best you can do is clean someone up on the outside. By the way, this is what religion does, is they work hard on cleaning up the outside of people. They're very good at trying to say, this is how you dress, this is how you act, this is how you look. But they do nothing to the inside of people's hearts. That religion is very good at trying to get people to conform to the outside behavior without doing anything with the inside, which is what's needed. We understand the Bible does it the opposite way. That God tries to change us from the inside out. That it begins with a heart issue. It's all about the heart. That's what needs to change. If we wanted to see the America that we live in, what is the answer? It is not more laws. Their hearts must be changed. Otherwise, that some different administration, some other laws can pass, and it will go right back to how it was, if not even worse. So as we understand this idea of reformation without revival, Josiah is the king. He has the right to change the laws. He has the right to clean up things, but it is not changing people's hearts. Notice as we go to chapter 23 and verse 1. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. Now, isn't that a blessing? Josiah went up and said, here, let's read the Bible to you. This is great. This is amazing. Verse 3. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with all their soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in the book. And all the people stood to the covenant. Now, this is an amazing sight here, that King Josiah gets the Bible. He stands up and he reads the Bible. Now, can you imagine that, the leader of a nation to stand up and read the Bible to the people as they're listening? Don't you think that would be great to see in our nation? And so he stands up and sings. Then Josiah, his heart's burning. He says, man, we need to obey this. And he makes a covenant with God on behalf of the people that, hey, we're going to obey the Bible. Now, the people have to agree to it because he's the king. He's doing it with his heart. They're agreeing just because the king said so. Now, notice as he does do some good, notice some things that Josiah cleans up. First of all, he cleans up the temple of Jehovah. He cleans up the temple of Jehovah. Notice with me in chapter 23, verse 4. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priest of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and the grove, and the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them to Bethel. Now what happened is that Josiah says, what we're going to do is we're going to start in the temple of Jehovah. And they go in there. Can you imagine over the years, they had temple altars, if you could allow the vernacular, to Satan. That it got to the place where people are worshiping false gods, including to Satan, inside of the temple of God. Could you imagine that this church here, that we're here, now we understand the church is different than the building, but let's say the building here, that over time neglect happens, people no longer reading the Bible, and they start bringing in different idols. They start to bring in different things. And after a while, you have a pagan God here and a pagan God here, and people are worshiping Satan, even though they may not call him by Satan, they call him by something else. You understand what's going to happen to that church? It's going to need to be cleaned out because it's no longer right. That's what happened to the temple of God, is that it had temples and idols of stuff of all the host of heaven, including Baal, who is Satan, all throughout the temple of God. And so what happened, Josiah took it, didn't just take it, he burnt it. And then as he burnt it, he took the ashes and brought it to a different country and said, we don't even want it nearby. Notice verse 5. And he put down the idolatrous priest who the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the city of Judah and the high places round about Jerusalem, and them also that burn incense to Baal and to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to the host of heaven. Josiah said, all right. If you're a preacher who doesn't preach the Bible, you're fired. You're done. You're out of here. You don't have a job no more. Verse number 6. And he brought out of the grove of the house of the Lord without Jerusalem and unto the brook of Kidron and burnt it and at the brook of Kidron and stamped it to small powder and cast the powder thereof with the graves of the people of children of the people. Now what's happening here is that inside of the temple they actually had a place where people would worship a false god in a immoral matter. I'll just leave it there. He made sure that that got rid of and says, we're not going to have that. We are not going to worship sexuality inside of a church building. That's not going to happen. Verse number 7, then he break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, whereby the women wove hangings for the grove. Now, he got rid of the paganism. He got rid of the pornography. Then he got rid of the perverts. There was actually sodomists living right at the temple saying, hey, we're fine. We can worship however we want. And Josiah says, no, we're going to obey the Bible. We're getting rid of the paganism. We're getting rid of the perverts and we're getting rid of the pornography. We're making this a house that is dedicated to worship God and not all this other stuff. And so Josiah, he's cleaning up house. He starts off by cleaning the temple of Jehovah. Then he moves on and he begins to clean the town of Jerusalem. He starts by cleansing the temple of Jehovah. Then he cleans the town of Jerusalem. Notice with me in verse number 10. The tribe of Judah. He goes tribe of Judah first. Verse number 8. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priest had burned incense from Gibeah to Beersheba and break down the high places of the gates that were entering into the gates of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on the man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread of their brethren. Now, Josiah says, all right, we're going to clean up the tribe of Judah. We're going to get rid of all the other places of worship. We're going to try to destroy the false religion, but the priests were too strong. He couldn't root out all the false priests, but he did the best he could to try to get rid of any preacher who did not preach what the Bible said. So he cleansed the temple of Jehovah, went to the tribe of Judah, and then he went and cleansed the town of Jerusalem. Notice with me now as we hit verse 10. And he defiled Topheth, which is the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or daughter pass through the fire of Molech. This idea of Topheth, it's going to come again later on. But remember when I said King Manasseh had sacrificed his own children by rolling it down? That the valley of Topheth means the banging of the drums, and the valley of Hinnom, that what would happen is they would roll the babies down. Of course, the baby's going to scream. It's going through fire and it's going to get burned. That what they would do is that they would have a musical concert. They would bang the drums so loud to drown out the cries of the children during this thing here. And King Josiah says, absolutely not. This is not going to happen no more. We're getting rid of this. This is going away. And he says, we're getting rid of all these ones who want to kill our children. We're going to clean up our nation and we're not going to allow any more of this killing of our babies. And he defiled Topheth, which was in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man make his son or daughter pass through the fire of Molech. And he took away the horses that the king of Judah had given this to the son. And entering to the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathamelech of the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the son with fire. So what he did is that, hey, look, here's these animals and these chariots that were dedicated to the son. Well, we're going to burn them and we're going to get rid of them. Any outside religion, we're going to crush all this. Verse number 12. And the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz and the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break them down from thence and cast the dust of them into the book of Kidron. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, king of Israel, built it for Ashtaroth in the abomination of the Zidonians, for Kukamush, the abomination of the Moabites, and Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. And he brake in pieces the images, and cut down the groves, and filled their places with the bones of men. Hey, Josiah's going to town, isn't he? And man, anything that's serving any false god, we're getting rid of it, we're cleaning house. Now, again, we understand that Josiah's right with God, and he's the one that's cleaning it up. The people are probably saying, what in the world is this crazy guy doing? I mean, we've had these things. Solomon built this. Hey, what are you doing with Solomon? What are you doing? King Ahaz built that. Hey, Manasseh built. You're destroying our culture. You're destroying our heritage. And Josiah says, no, this is not pleasing to God. We're not having any other gods. We're not going to allow any other gods to be worshipped. We're cleaning house. It's not going to happen. We know that Josiah, he started in the temple of Jehovah, moved to the tribe of Judah, went to the town of Jerusalem. Then he went to the territory of Jeroboam. He went to the territory of Jeroboam. Notice with me in verse 15. Basically, he's going up north to where we would call Samaria, Israel. And he says, hey, I'm going to go ahead and clean out this other nation too. Let's go take care of them. Verse 15. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, and the high place which Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both the altar and the high place, he broke down and burned the high place and stamped it to small to powder, and burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchers that were at the mount and sent, and took the bones out of them, the sepulcher, and burnt them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Now what happened is that Josiah went up north and says, we're going to go take care of them. If you remember that we had King Saul, the first king of the United Kingdom, King David. Then we had King Solomon. King Solomon had a son by the name of Rehoboam, who was not as wise as his father. And because of unwise choices, God broke up the kingdom into two. That Rehoboam was the first king of the southern kingdom. Jeroboam was the first king of the northern kingdom. Now, according to the Mosaic law, that in order to worship God, you had to go to the temple to worship. Well, that was a problem to Jeroboam because the temple is now in the rival country. And he didn't want all of his people to go to the rival country. So what Jeroboam did is he developed a brand new religion. We're still worshiping God. We still love God. But he changed around the religion so people could worship God in their own way instead of the way of the Bible. I'm sure that doesn't happen in America today where people say, oh, I worship God. But it doesn't line up with the Bible. But that's exactly what happened. Josiah says, no, we're going to go clean that up. Here's the altar that Jeroboam built. Hey, let's crush this thing. Let's destroy this. By the way, God predicted that was going to happen right in front of Jeroboam. He had a man of God who went up to Jeroboam and said, guess what? God's going to destroy this. And Jeroboam said, who are you? And when he put out his hand, God made all of his hand wither. It just kind of sucked away like a mummy. And he went, uh-oh. Hey, pray for me that I get my hand back, please. And the man of God prayed, and Jeroboam said, wow, this is pretty amazing. Then the man of God messed up, and Jeroboam said, oh, I could go do whatever I want again. And what he did for all of the 19 or 18 kings of Israel, Jeroboam started off, as you read through the book of Kings and Chronicles, you'll see that phrase, that they followed the same sin which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, caused Israel to sin. This is going to be a big deal and a big phrase you'll find over and over and over. If you want to find one of the biggest bad guys in Israel history, it's Jeroboam, who set up a false religion and taught people to serve God their own way rather than serve God the way that the Bible said to serve him. And so what happens is that Josiah goes and cleans them up. Verse 17. Then he said, "What is the title of that I see?" And the men of the city told him, "It is the sepulcher of the man of God, which came from Judah and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel." Now, what happened is that Josiah started going, walking the graveyard, said, "Who's this guy? This guy was a false prophet. Dig him up, burn his bones. Who's this guy? Oh, this guy's a false prophet. Dig him up, burn his bones." He came to this other one and said, "Who is this guy?" And they said, "This is the man of God that went and put his bony finger in front of Jeroboam and said, 'God is against this.'" And he says, "Okay, never mind, you keep him there." By the way, what happened is that God had to bring a southerner to go up north to go teach all those Yankees, I mean, the northern people, how to live right. And he ended up dying for it and stuff. But so Josiah said, "Don't leave him alone. He's good. Take care of him." Verse 18. And he said, "Let him alone. Let no man move his bones." So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. And all of the houses also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away and did to that according to the acts that he had done in Bethel. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were upon the altars and burned the men's bones upon them, and returned to Jerusalem. So, as you can tell, Josiah, he got really fired up when he read the Bible. He read the Bible, saw what it said, and said, "Hey, we're going to do this." And so he cleansed the temple of Jehovah. He went and cleansed the tribe of Judah. He went to the town of Jerusalem. Then he went and did the territory of Jeroboam. He's cleaning house. He's fixing things. He's destroying temple. He's getting rid of false religion. He's making all these laws and all these reforms. But yet, the people's hearts are not changed. And that's going to be a big deal here, that the people's hearts are not going to change whatsoever. That you can make all the laws you want, but unless the people's hearts change, it's not going to last. It's not going to affect. We understand in our country today, you can make all kinds of revisions. You could reverse all kinds of laws. You could fix any errors. But until the people's hearts are fixed, it's going to be to no avail. It will only last for a small amount of time. And given the chance, the people will jump right back into the same sins and the same manner of life that they were living before the reforms, before the laws were passed. That we have to work on people's hearts. Now we come to the last segment. We saw the first segment that we had restoration without revelation, that Josiah is trying to do what's right, even though he didn't have the Bible. As soon as he found the Bible, he says, "We're going to obey the Bible." And what happened is that you had reform without revival. Now this last segment of his life is that he had religion. We see religion without regeneration. Religion without regeneration. Notice with me in verse 21. "And the king commanded all the people, saying, 'Keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant.' Surely there was not holden a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in the days of the king of Israel, nor in the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, written in this Passover, was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem." So what happened is that King Josiah read and said, "Hey, we're supposed to be having a Passover every year. We're supposed to be honoring God and remembering how God delivered us from. And we haven't been obeying this for centuries. You know what? We're going to have a Passover service. All right? Everyone has to show up to the Passover service. Everyone needs to worship God." And so people showed up. Not because they wanted to, but because they had to. You understand that there's sometimes people can come to church because they have to, because they're expected to, and not because they want to. You understand that there's some people who read their Bible because they feel like they have to, and not because they want to get something from God. You understand that we could do all this reformation, but it is the heart that has to be changed. It is the heart that needs to be fixed. It is the heart that we have to work with people on. Notice as it goes on in verse number 24. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and wizards and images and idols that were the abominations were spied in the land of Judah and Jerusalem. Did Josiah put away that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book of Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And like unto him, there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, whereas his anger was kindled against Judah because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. And the Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, which will cast off the city Jerusalem, which I have chosen in the house that I said, my name shall be there. Again, Josiah, he got thoroughly right. He said, we're going to please the Lord. Now let's enter in Josiah's friend, Jeremiah. We've already been seeing that Jeremiah has been preaching after the reforms of Josiah. We don't know exactly when they met, but we know that it's during this time that Jeremiah is called to preach. And as we've already seen, we had the phrase in Jeremiah chapter 5, and the people love to have it so. Remember, we just covered the idea of their slight religion, that they have helped the hurt of my daughter slightly. Were they ashamed when they commit abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. The Bible's very clear that as Josiah made these reforms, it didn't do anything to the hearts of the people. And the hearts of the people still say, we don't care about your God. We don't care. Their hearts are not in it. You understand, for us ourselves, we need to do a heart check from time to time. Why are you at church today? You know, we could get in the habit of going to church, and by the way, that's a good habit to get into. But if we're going to church just because we have to, we're not going to be pleasing to the Lord as we would be if we were doing it because I love him. I want to do what's right. You understand, it's all a matter of the heart. You understand, there's a difference between compliance and submission. That's where we come to. Compliance is doing things because you have to. Submission is doing it because your heart wants to. For example, we've given the example before. A mother can say, son, go clean your room. Fine. And he may go do the act. He may be compliant, but he is not submissive. His heart's not in it. Now someone says, but I don't agree with leadership. That's where submission comes in. Remember, if you agree with leadership, that's unity. That's what we want to. Submission comes when we disagree with what leadership is doing, but we submit anyways with our heart as pleasing to the Lord. You understand, these people here are compliant. Fine. Josiah says that King Josiah says, I can't go to that bookstore anymore. Fine, I won't go. But man, I would really like to. Mom says, I can't watch that movie anymore. I'll do it, but I really want to. Dad says, I can't go to that website no more. I'll do it because they tell me to, but I really want to go back. You understand? It's a heart issue. It's a heart thing. What is the difference between reformation and revival? Reformation is conforming people to the outward. Revival is when God's Spirit pours down to people who want to be pleasing to Him. We want revival. It's our hearts that need to be turned towards God. It is our hearts that need to be turned towards Him. It is our hearts that we're to worship God with all of our heart, with our soul, our body, our strength, not just the outward appearance. It's all an issue of the heart. You understand that today people can be very religious. They have a mind that if they turn over a new leaf, that they'll be fine with God. They figure that if they stop drinking, they stop smoking, they stop hanging around those that do, that God would be pleased with them. But you understand it's not turning over a new leaf, it's turning your heart over to the Lord. And God will change you from the inside out. You understand we can conform people's behavior, but we can't, but it's their hearts that need it the most. It is their hearts that need to fall in love with the Lord. It is their hearts that need to be taken care of. Josiah fell in love with God with his heart. The other people just followed Josiah because they had to, not because they wanted to. You say, what do we do about all this? What do we do about this? First of all, how is your heart? How is your heart with the Lord? Do you do things because you want to be pleasing to Him? Are you excited to read your Bible? Are you excited to go to church? Because you want to please Him. Because you love Him. Because you're thankful for what He has done for you. That should be our heart thing. Why are you here? Because you have to. Because you want to. Because you're obligated to. Because you want to. When you read your Bible, for Christians who are in love with God, you don't have to beg them to read their Bible. They read it because they want to read it. How's your want to reading the Bible? Is it something you look forward to? Is it something you have to do? How's your prayer life? For Christians who are in love with the Lord, with their heart, it's not a big deal to talk with God. I get to talk with God and He answers prayer and it's amazing. Other people, it's, all right, Lord, rub-a-dub-dub, thank you for this grub. Or now I lay me down to sleep and you've done your obligatory prayers. But it's not a conversation with Him with your heart. You understand, God is, He is interested in your outward appearance to a degree, but nowhere near as He is to your heart. Your heart. How is your heart towards God? And then as we deal with people, we understand that we can mandate some outward appearance, but our most important thing is that we want to bring them to the Lord with their heart. We want that personal relationship with God. You understand this is the difference between religion and a relationship. Religion works on the outward appearance. Religion is your personal, or your relationship is your personal walk with God. And as you walk with God, He'll change you from the inside out. This is why we preach in such a way here that we understand dress is important, but we don't preach on it every week. We work on the heart, and God will change them from the inside out. There is an obligation. Many churches, unfortunately, even Baptistic churches, work so much on the outside and not on the inside. That if we're going to line up and have revival and not just reform, if we want people to change, it has to be because of a heart relationship with the Lord and not an outward expectation of what they're supposed to do. I know this is easier said than done, but we recognize what it is. It is a heart issue. We wonder why sometimes kids, once they graduate, they never come back to church. It's because they were reformed and not revived. It was because of the outward and not an inward relationship. We understand it is the relationship with God that will keep them going. That is the difference between being compliant and submission, is that you remove authority and how do they respond? Why do kids act crazy when they remove from authority? It is because they were compliant on the outside and not submissive with the heart. It is the heart that we must bring people to. Now, as we speak about this, we all go to our mind and we all have someone, maybe it's ourselves, maybe you've been there where you recognized you were not submissive to your parents, you're compliant to your parents. Maybe you remember in your own heart there were times that you had to read the Bible and you didn't get to read your Bible. Maybe there's some times you had to go to church. But we also in our minds think of people that we love and we love so much that the problem they have is not the outward, it is the inward. That they may have lots of issues on the outward, but what we need to be praying for is that they have a relationship with the Lord. That their heart is right with God. And because they're right with God in their heart, they will be right with God on the outside as well.
Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.